You're listening to the Theology of Music podcast. Follow on YouTube and Instagram, support through buymeacoffee.com, and subscribe to the only podcast exploring the hidden ecosystems within the theology of Christian music through unique and uniting conversations.
Oh, man.
Guys, I don't... Usually I start immediately and go, welcome to the Theology Music Podcast. My name is Joel. I don't do my tagline. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. Today, it feels like, why would I ever... This person in front of me, who I'm genuinely angry, isn't physically in front of me. I'm close to being the Simpsons old man yells at Sky right now, because I'm not sitting physically next to Cliff Lambert, who, if you've been like an OG fan of this podcast, right, there's some of you newbies, which is we're very thankful for, but if Absolutely. You're an OG fan, you know Cliff Lambert.
Whoa, sorry,
he also does that a lot. You know him as the inspiration for the podcast logo. You know him as one of the longest standing and most frequent guests that we've had. And you know him as one of my best friends and mentors when I was in the church. I'm not in the church anymore, but we are still very good friends. And I would still consider him a mentor in that way. And he is just an incredibly wise, amicable, humble, genuine man of the Lord. And he is now up in Lynchburg, Virginia. He is he was a professor for a bit, but he is mainly serving as the worship. Are you worship pastor?
Yes, worship pastor.
Worship pastor at what's the church again?
Liberty Baptist Church.
Liberty Baptist Church.
In Appomattox, Virginia.
Appomattox, Virginia.
Which is where the Civil War was. That's where the Civil War ended, was at the Appomattox Courthouse. So there's a lot of history in this town.
I was about to say, there's an old Chris Brown song that he goes, I'm a country boy from Tappahannock. VA is where I reside. But he does. I was like, oh, I thought it was Appomattox, but no, it's Tappahannock. How far are you from Tappahannock?
I have no clue. I don't know where Tappahannock is.
How dare you not know? I'm kidding.
I know. I should know these things.
Cliff, what? God, man, I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast. Man, it's been so long. How are you?
It's great to be with you, man. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. 2022 has been an interesting year for me.
Yeah, it has.
Shall I just go into it?
Just go into it, man.
Okay. So, Joel is exactly right. I'm the worship pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Appomattox, Virginia. Have been there since September. So I haven't been the worship pastor there for very long, but I have actually been in worship ministry for over 25 years at various different churches throughout the United States. But in addition to that, I'm currently, for the last 4 or 5 years, have been a professor at Liberty University as an adjunct professor, and we can talk a little bit about that journey. but I'm teaching worship courses as well as a voice teacher. So
very
I'm
good at it.
Thanks, Joel. It's really nice. Going into the spring semester, we were only maybe 2-3 weeks into the spring semester, so this is beginning of February. And my doctor back in December had noticed some weird things with the cholesterol levels in my blood. My cholesterol has always been high, but he thought it would be time to get some further tests done. And so they did what they call a calcium screening test, which is, it measures the amount of calcium that's around your heart, which kind of indicates if there's blockages and how extensive the blockages are. So. This is a test that they haven't been doing, maybe for the last 5 or 10 years on a regular basis. And when you go in, they give you a score. High score is 400. They don't want it to be any higher than 400. And when my test results came back, the number was over 5,000. So, obviously there was quite a bit of calcium in the arteries around my heart.
Literally dead man walking.
Literally dead man walking. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. And
nurses just then be like, all right, no sudden moves. He's like a horse.
Dude,
let's not
spook
him.
Seriously. That's exactly what
Cliff,
it was. I mean,
why don't you take a seat?
They had me go in for a for a what they call a nuclear stress test, which they inject this nuclear stuff into your blood and then you get on the treadmill. Oh my goodness, those nurses were scared to death that I was going to have a heart attack.
Just
it's like, out. Don't go too fast. How are you feeling? You okay? Don't breathe. You know, don't breathe too heavy. But anyway, so I it was a wake up call, you know, and, you know, only I'm 56. So for right. that to be the case is actually pretty young. So, they said, let's get a heart cath, went in for a heart catheterization. They're thinking, okay, maybe we can do some stents, whatever. Well, he said the procedure would be about 45 minutes long. And he was in there for 5 minutes and basically told me while I was on the table, he's like, Mr. Lambert, we're going to have to do bypass surgery. And what was interesting is I had no symptoms. Like I didn't have shortness of breath. I had no chest pain, no arm pain, no jaw pain. Pretty much I was doing everything normally. So right. I had no clue that this was coming. And so I talked to the cardiologist. I said, would it be okay for me to finish the semester, finish teaching through May and then get the surgery? And his response was, well, it's completely up to you. But he said, I would highly recommend that you get this done as soon as possible. So I went ahead and 2 weeks later I was having double bypass surgery. And man, oh, it was so awesome. The church, the school, they all came around, supported our family just tremendously. What a blessing, you know. And you know, when you have a major surgery like that, you hear all the horror stories.
Right.
You know, people want to be encouraging and comforting, but, you know, for some reason they feel led to tell you that their uncle died while they were having the surgery, you know.
But that's not going to be you.
Right. It's not going to be you, but.
You're totally fine. But I heard of a friend who died. Because exactly. he didn't get the surgery the next day. But, you know, you'll be fine. 2 weeks
later, you'll be fine. Yeah. You're the Lord will take care of you. Yeah, yeah.
Won't he do it?
Won't he? Oh, dude. Let's not go there.
Maybe I promise I'm not later. Giggling so much because of the drink that I'm drinking, which, by the way, I'm drinking as a celebration. I didn't even say this. I was so excited.
Yeah.
This is how much I care about you and how much I love you. I totally didn't even talk about the fact that this is going to be the 100th episode. And this is
100th episode.
The reason why I'm having you on is because it's the 100th episode, because you're the most special person that I know that I would have on. That's
Thank you,
what
Joel.
I was supposed to say. But I got so excited. I was like a middle school boy when the girl touched my hand. I'm like, I can't think of anything. Who? What's my name? What am I doing? So, it's
yes, 100th episode.
And you're on this podcast, and we're doing. I didn't tell you this too. We're doing a giveaway for non-members and members. Members is a $75 gift card to Amazon, and non-members is $25. And so, well, I'll talk about that towards the end before we go behind the paywall. But yeah, doing a giveaway as well after this episode. So stay
Sweet.
Tuned for that. But anyway, so you double bypass. Everyone was supportive. You got it
Seriously,
done 2 weeks
later. Recovery was the first 3 weeks after surgery was agony. Can't take deep breaths. Mm. Every time you cough, you feel like your chest is going to explode. Mm. It's pretty crazy. But. And here's the thing. It's so funny. The cardiologist said, you're 56. And most of the time we're doing surgeries like this on a lot older people. He said, the thing that's going to make your recovery harder is the fact that the muscles in your chest wall are probably over 2 inches thick. Whereas the muscles in an 80-year-old woman are like super thin.
Right.
And so when they have the surgery, their recovery is nothing. But for you, because you're younger and you have more muscle, the recovery's a lot slower and a lot more painful.
You're literally just yoked. You're just so swole. I mean, look at you.
I'm swole.
Keep going.
I'm swole in a lot of places.
What do you got, cankles?
But so anyway, the recovery, but as soon as I hit that like 4 week mark, man, I just started feeling so much better. And yeah, I was back teaching within 5 weeks and leading worship. My church was so concerned. Like the head of our personnel committee, she's like, you can come back, but you can't lead any songs. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, I'll do that. I don't mind letting other people on our team lead the songs. She's like, I just don't want you like bursting something.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I don't want you breaking a I don't know. Anyway, so I did that, and it lasted about 3 weeks, and she was like, you know, it seems like you're actually doing really good. I said, can I please lead
That's
some
hilarious.
Songs? And she's like, yes, you have passed the test. And so I think she was just concerned that I'd hit a high note or something and like something would, I don't know. But anyway.
You just pass out.
But it was nice that my church was looking out for me, you know, that they were really protecting me. And it was, I could sense God's presence through the entire process.
And you haven't been replaced yet by a younger person.
And I haven't. No, I know they haven't replaced me with some younger guy, whatever. So yeah, so that's good.
Well, and it's, I think, you know, the testament to the health and the integrity of your church and leadership is that, like, you, okay, you're not an old person, but you're not young. Like, you're not a
right.
like in the young 20s, 30 year old worship leader. And
right.
so the fact that they rallied around you, but then was also like, not, hey, maybe this is, you know, maybe this is the Lord saying, you know, because some churches might use that as an excuse, like, hey, he's getting old.
Right.
Like, hey, I know you're feeling well, but maybe it's time. And just the fact that your church was so willing to be like, we want you back. Why? Yep. You know, let's go.
Well, but even when I was there, I don't necessarily lead. I'm the worship pastor, but I really, even though I'm on the platform, I don't lead worship every single Sunday. I'm always allowing other people to take the lead. And so, you know, that worked in my favor too, because then when I was gone, there were people that were ready and ready to step up and take that.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to be in a, and actually oversee and be part of a ministry that doesn't completely rely on me.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy in a church, the same way as, you know, you don't want the whole church to just completely be reliant on the senior pastor. Because then it becomes personality driven.
You know, I talk about that. You know, don't get me spun up. Don't get me spun up.
But I think we need to do the same thing in worship ministry, you know?
Yeah.
Take another sip.
That's very true. That's what is this, like, a drinking game for a podcast? All my people who are like not ever any drinkers are going, what the heck is going on? I thought
what
this was a family
world?
Podcast. I thought it was wholesome.
Before you went to video podcasts, they don't know that what we did on our last podcast together. Like, are you still there? Did you freeze up?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was just laughing. No,
okay.
I don't get to smoke cigars that much because Joanna hates the smell. I smoked one. I do get to smoke with a good friend of mine who it goes to our church now. He lives like 5 minutes away. So when I go over to his house, it's literally like smoke a cigar, drink an old fashioned. Because I just don't do that.
There you go.
So it's great, and I don't go over that often. I do need to stress that. I should stress. It's not like I go over every other day. Okay, relax.
Oh man, relax.
Keep going. So you were worship pastoring the church, but then when you were a professor, right? That was a whole different ball game, right? Because you used to do worship leading, worship pastoring. You were in Virginia. We were in Virginia together. That was where, you know, obviously where we met and where we became fast friends. And your whole goal was kind of investing in the church from the perspective of the Sunday morning. But then you switched to investing in the church from the perspective of the undergrad. And what was that like?
Ooh, that's a great transition, Joel.
You know what the worst part is? Literally when I finished, I was like, knocked it out of the park. Great job, Joel. I internally patted myself on the back like, that's why
you're a good podcaster. And I reinforced it.
He's the best at the
No,
business.
Seriously though. I mean, when you've been in ministry for so long, you start to realize that there are things that you've learned along the way, mistakes that you've made, things that you've done successfully that the Lord has blessed, and you think, you know, I can take this and how can I take this knowledge and this experience the Lord has given me and allow me to pour that into the next generation of worship leaders. And so for me, it was equipping people on my team to start with, you know, and saying, hey, you do what I do, you know, you watch and then we'll do it together and then I'll watch, you know, kind of that process of, of pouring into the next generation. And then, and I was doing that in the church for so long. And then the Lord just opened up and what was interesting is that I was praying for the Lord to give me opportunities to pour into the next generation outside of my church. And how that started was actually the Hampton Roads Worship Leader Collective,
which is how we met.
I was trying to develop relationships with other worship pastors in the area, and we'd get together and have coffee. We'd have lunches together. We'd offer workshops for each other's ministries. We would do all kinds of different things, and it allowed all of us, not just myself, but anybody who was in leadership, to be able to pour into not only their team, but then other people's teams, which was really, really cool. Yep. It built a community within that area. In fact, I just this week started one here in the Lynchburg area.
Nicely done.
I've already got six people in the collective, six worship leaders, and we're working on growing it. We've got our first huddle coming up at the end of July. And I'm hoping we get a good turnout for that. But I do it not necessarily. First of all, I think in a lot of ways as worship leaders, many times we have nobody to talk to. We can't really. There are certain things we can talk with our congregation about, and our pastor and our wives about. But there are other things that go on in ministry that when we talk. In fact, I just had a lunch with a guy from Roanoke this week who's a worship pastor. And he basically said, it's just so nice to be able to talk with someone who does what I do and knows what I'm going through. And he even said, you don't even have to respond back to me. It's just the opportunity for me to share with somebody who understands what I do and what I'm going through. And I feel like that's a huge part of the collective and what we do for each other and encouraging one another. But all that does is it helps equip the church.
Yep.
And what my vision, and I think what the Lord has laid on my heart is, yes, I want to equip my church, but I want to also help equip the church. And I feel like interestingly enough, the opportunity at Liberty was not something for me to be a professor. That wasn't something I was pursuing. I wasn't saying, now I need to go and be a professor at a Christian college so I can help worship leaders develop.
This is the next step for me. That's right.
It wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't anything, but I had started doing it in my church. I had started doing it with the Hampton Roads Worship Leader Collective. And then out of that, this opportunity comes along my way if you are interested, we'd love for you to pour into worship leaders at Liberty University. And at first I'm like, what? Really? I mean, what do I have to offer? And my wife and I prayed about it, and we sought the Lord on it, because where I was living at the time was Chesapeake, Virginia. Lynchburg, Virginia Chesapeake's pretty much on the East Coast.
Yep.
And Lynchburg is in the middle of the state. So it's about 3.5-4 hours.
It's not a quick trek. It's mountains.
It's not a quick trek. No. And, but the school was like, if you would be willing to come out 2 days a week and teach 2 days a week, we'll bring you on as an adjunct professor. So I talked to my pastor. I said, would this be okay? He was like, sure, if you feel like you can continue to do your job at the church and do it well, then absolutely go ahead. And he understood my vision of wanting to pour into the next generation of worship leaders. So I did that for 3 years almost, where I would after church on,
Sunday, you would drive up to Lynchburg. I remember.
I would drive to Lynchburg. Yep. I would teach Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday morning, I would drive back in time for rehearsals for church. And so I did that for probably close to 3 years.
You did.
And I think that's what I was doing when we met, actually.
You just started.
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't. Started doing that. So, the more I taught at the school, they were like, man, we'd really like you to teach more. We've got more to give you if you'd be willing to do that. And so again, my wife and I prayed about it. And I went to my pastor and I said, Liberty really wants to bring me on and give me more students. They want me to kind of be out there all week long. and I don't know what to do. I mean, how should I do this? And my pastor said, well, he said, we'd really love to keep you. We're going to keep you on halftime. And basically, if you'll come out here and lead worship on Sundays and run and do all of your rehearsals on Sunday after church, and then you can go back to Lynchburg and teach. And so I did that for like another 2 years. Mm-hmm. So basically, I was doing the same thing. I was just reversed. I was living in Lynchburg and about a year
to speak.
Visiting. Yeah. And after about a year and a half, 2 years, I started to feel like I was starting to burn out.
Yeah.
Like it just started, like when I would start my drive Saturday afternoon to drive to Chesapeake, I would be so tired. And I would, you know, like, Lord, am I supposed to continue to do this? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And then, so I finally went to my pastor and I said, I'm getting tired. I love ministering at this church. I was at Deep Creek Baptist Church in Chesapeake. Great church. Love the people. Great people. Oh my goodness. And I told him, I said, I don't think I can continue this on very, very much longer. And he was very understanding. My pastor was so understanding. He said, I'm just really glad that you stayed here this long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was kind of like the time for me to stop that. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I have a passion for the church. I love the church. I love equipping the church and leading worship for the church. And so I started looking at places closer to Liberty, churches, you know. Mm-hmm. And the God's timing in all of this was just so weird, because when I went to my pastor and told him that I was getting tired, and I was telling some of my colleagues, I said, I'm going to probably quit my church job in Chesapeake so that I can stay here more. And a couple of my colleagues were like, well, do you know such and such a church? And this church over here is looking for a worship pastor. And actually, yeah. I ended up interviewing at two different places. One of them was a full-time position, and there was just no way that I could do full-time church and full-time teaching. But Liberty Baptist in Appomattox was specifically looking for a part-time worship pastor.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it's a church that's been around since the early 1800s. Sure. And, but what's cool about it is that the lead pastor, he just turned 40. So he's a young guy. The fact that a young pastor would hire a 56-year-old worship leader,
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. And
it shows he understands the true aspect of worship music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I love about the church is that it's so diverse. You know, a lot of churches went through this stage of where they do like a modern service and then they do a traditional service. When he came in as the youth pastor and then transitioned over to lead pastor. So
typical,
he's been here.
Typical.
He's been here 15 years, but he's only been the senior pastor for 5. So because of the trust he had built in those 10 years as the student pastor, when he became the senior pastor, the church loved him and trusted him so much that they allowed him to make quite a few changes.
That's good.
And it's such a healthy situation. And I mean, I know a lot of worship pastors that are in not healthy situations, but I'm just thankful and blessed that I'm in a healthy place. But we do two different services on Sunday morning, and they're in two different venues. So the first service takes place in this old sanctuary that was built in
church basement.
It has that feel to it. There's stained glass windows everywhere, mahogany pews. I mean, it's absolutely.
So is it a traditional service though?
No.
So it's
this is what's awesome.
Two services, but in different places.
Two exactly. So it's two of the same services. I do the same music in both services. They're just in two different venues and have a completely different feel. So, and I'm combining music from every era. So I've got.
Okay, here's a question. Are you combining music from the 80s and the 90s? When have you done Shout to the Lord?
I did Shout to the Lord probably back in January.
I just say that because my pet peeve with people who say they have multi-generational worship is no. You just have basically the last 10 years and then 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't lie. You don't sing this 90s songs. I don't see Shout to the Lord on your sets or Revelation song or like God of Wonders.
I have a Revelation song on my set
or stuff like that. Like you need to
How about What a Mighty God We Serve? Do you know that one?
Yes, I do. Wow, that is a throwback.
Now, here's the thing. When I came into September, those songs were pretty much the only songs the church was
doing. So that's the only problem is you're like, okay, we got to get out of that. But you still got to, yeah.
Exactly. That's so fair. I'll throw one in, but it's maybe once every 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
But other than that, it's exactly how you describe it. Today 500 years ago.
I really think I think worship pastors, worship leaders are doing a disservice to their church, and they're not being creative. Now, you've been talking for a while, and I'm going to let you keep talking because you're the guest. I will say that I think way too many worship pastors and leaders are lazy because literally I was over at this guy's house last night smoking a cigar and having a drink, and before he was like, hey, play my piano because no one plays it. And I just joked about how like, I really wish people would do more medleys on Sundays. Just like you don't have to do the whole song, but like I literally did like Revelation song and Build My Life. And I showed like, this, like I would do this. Or I did like Shout to the Lord and another song, but just like that idea of where you could just, it's not hard. Like if you just threw Shout to the Lord chorus in one of your modern songs, everyone in your church would be happy. But people don't do that. They go, what's the top 40? Which I would throw you under the bus often because you did that at DC Church.
I did.
You're better now, thankfully. But it's people would do that. They'd just be like, what's the top 40? I mean, and I've said it to my worship leader because he's not the one who picks the songs because we're at a massive church with multiple campuses. But I'm like, can we do hymns? Like, bro, can we do older songs? Not even just hymns. Can we mix it up? And, it's because if you don't, it just gets real stale. Like Sunday morning just gets very stale if you just do the new stuff or the newish stuff. Keep going. There you go. You go. I was going to say, let's transition to, because we're about at 30 minutes. So I need to talk about, what we're going to talk about in a second and talk about the giveaway and stuff like that because I don't want to keep them going for too long. But I agree because I will say this also to what your point about worship leaders. It's something that's said about most people. So the guy that I was hanging out with, he's a CEO of a hospital. And he says he's talked to many CEOs. He has a leadership business he's starting and we might be doing it together soon. And we talk about how it's lonely at the top. And it's lonely at the top because you don't have anyone... Because I believe it's lonely at the top because you believe that you're the guy. And I think the guy syndrome is what makes you think is makes you lonely. It's the same thing at worship at as a worship pastor or a pastor. If you think you're the guy, you don't think there's anyone that you can talk to about your stuff. When in reality, you could literally talk to someone who has no idea what you're talking about with worship music or your Sunday morning set. Like, yes, people like you, Cliff, are immeasurably important to people who are young and in ministry. They need someone like you who's been through it, who's done it, who they can talk to, who understands, who's a man of integrity, a man of character, right? All those things. They need you. But I think the young people who are in ministry also need to remember, like, you're not the guy. The pastor that you maybe idolize or think is like this whoa guy is just as sinful as you are. And he's just as sinful as the grocery store clerk. And you're just as sinful as that person. Like, everyone is on the same playing field, which is the sense that we all stand equally condemned before the cross, but when Christ, through him, we are saved equally by no merit of our own, right? And so because of that, it doesn't matter who you are. We're on the same playing field. But if you think you're the guy, you get really lonely because you're like, well, no one can identify or no one can understand. And I wish I just had this person. I'm like, what if you just told a friend of yours, like, hey, I'm wrestling with ministry because this. Like, I'm pretty like maybe they could actually give you a pretty good perspective,
right?
But you're pigeonholing yourself because no one's a CEO, no one's a pastor, lead pastor, no one's a like worship leader of a five campus church, like all that kind of stuff. It's you're doing that to yourself, right? And so I would say that to anyone who's listening, who leads worship, or even anyone who's been just like, it's lonely at the top, or feels like they don't have anyone. It's almost like it's a little bit of pride. You think you're so that big of a deal, and maybe you're not actively like, I'm that big of a deal, but because of that sense about yourself, you've limited the ability right. for you to be ministered to by other people. So don't do that.
Yes. Such wisdom. Such wisdom. It's true.
Get out of here.
Hey, for those of you that are listening, Joel has actually lectured in one of my classes at school. So,
and I hated that because you gave me a taste of it. Now I want to keep doing it. And I'm like, when am I going to come with you to go speak at places? When I'm like,
yeah,
that's what I want to go. I mean, hopefully I get to speak at this conference in October. I don't know if enough people sign up, I will. But I really need, I'm like, I'd love to just do that as a ministry of the podcast, which if any point I can partner with anyone with this podcast, I would love to do that.
Bring Joel in, guys.
I don't care. But something you might care about is a $75 gift card to Amazon, which brings me to the giveaway. So here's how the giveaway works, and then Cliff and I are going to talk about the paywall. So the giveaway works like this. If you are a member, by going to buymeacoffee.com/theologyofmusic, and you are a member of $5 or however much money you are a member, not just someone who's donated, but a member, right? You will be entered into a giveaway for that gift card. Now, if you are a new member, I'll add another $5. So every $5 increment is an entry into being in the giveaway for this $75 gift card for Amazon. So you can't just be a donor. But if you're just a donor, what I'm going to do is I'm going to also enter you into the non-member giveaway for the $25 gift card. So non-members can still be entered into a giveaway. What you'll do is you'll share a post that I post about it. And if you're a non-member, what I'll do is I'll give you an extra entry. But if you, a non-member who's given, I mean, a non-member who's donated. But if you're a non-member, just a basic non-member, just one entry. If you are a member, like I said, and you're giving like $25 a month, that's five entries. So it's, you know, become a member of $5, $10, $15, $25 a month, supports the podcast, and enables me, because one of the things I really want to do is I want to go visit Cliff, and I want to go visit other people, and I want to record episodes in person, and I want to, you know, help out and take them out to lunch and do all that kind of stuff. So anyway, with that said, enter the giveaway. Details will follow with this post of this podcast and all that kind of stuff. So look forward to that. $75 for members, $25 gift card for non-members or donors. So, all right. What we're going to talk about, though, Cliff, I want to hear about your dissertation, which I just want you to tell me about your dissertation first. Real quick, what was the title? And then we'll go behind the paywall.
Yeah. So this whole journey of becoming a college professor has encouraged me to work toward getting my doctoral.
Okay, I just asked for your title, and I didn't ask for like the content.
Sorry, give me the. I gotta set it up.
No, I just want the title.
Okay, the title is "Gathered to Isolate," but that makes no sense unless you.
It's actually very true. I love how little sense it made just in saying that, which further proved your point, but makes it so much funnier. Okay, so Cliff, where can people find you? Find you on Instagram if they want to follow you. Find you at Liberty Baptist in Appomattox. But you're also a speaker, too. You go and speak places, too. You're a better speaker than me. Mm-hmm. So you are open to gigs.
Sure.
But other than that, I mean, you are just faithfully serving the church up there. You can find him on social media. Cliff Lambert. C, what is it? C something Lambert? What is it? C. Lambert. On Instagram.
On Instagram. No, I changed it. It's Cliff Lambert Jr.
That's right. And you have that cool little emoji thing. What? And you're going.
What's that? The other one was just, it was like my name with no vowels, and it was just really complicated.
It was like so a high school kid did that. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought, I'm just going to change it. Cliff Lambert Jr. Because I'm junior. My dad was senior. My son is the third, so I'm junior.
I love that. All right, that's where you guys can find him. We're going to talk about his thesis, From Gathered to Isolate, right?
That's right.
Gathered to Isolate. So we're going to go behind the paywall. If you guys want to hear more about this conversation, hear more from Cliff, and just hear us chat some more, you got to be a member. And remember, if you're a member, get entered into that giveaway for the $75 gift card, so you might as well do it. BuyMeACoffee.com. So it's the Elgin Music. But anyway, we're going to go behind the paywall. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Cliff, for being here. As always, we're going to talk, though. I hope you have a wonderful Lord's Day as you worship together corporately. And same to you, listener. But with that, see you guys later.